There's a phenomena going around right now that's not new, but it's become too normalized, and I don't like that. It's something that a lot of us are guilty of, yes, but at the same time, it's not good for us, and it's something that I want to discourage. Welcome back to the Meatweed Podcast, where we're discussing the terrors and how dangerous doom scrolling can be. Everyone has been down rabbit holes where they're just watching bad news after bad news, and it's addictive. Realistically, it is. It's addictive to watch bad news because you think, oh, if I'm informed, maybe it'll, maybe I could do something about it. You know, maybe it'll affect me in some way. This is the problem with doom scrolling. It's addictive. I'm comparing it to modern day cigarettes because we know it's bad for you, and yet it's popular. Let's talk a little more about it. You know, all the subtlety and the nuances. Let's really dig into it. Anyway. Before I start this podcast, I want to remind everyone that the YouTube video is up, and I want to thank people who have been watching it. I love the reception that the shorts have gotten. There's a YouTube shorts of a montage at the end of the video, and it's a little silly thing I put together. It took a few days, but I think it was well worth it. I do appreciate the responses and the comments and the new followers, you know, people watching it. Thanks, by the way. On to today's topic. What caused me to pick this of all things? Well, first off, I think we are all guilty of getting really negative news and just feeding it, you know? The problem with this, too, is every modern-day app, every modern-day social media has an algorithm tailored to you. So if you're eating the news, it'll feed you more, you know? It's like, you gluttonous bastard, here, have some more sad news. Good morning, bad news. I've seen all of them, okay? I used to watch stuff like that, and it's just not good for your mental health. And I'm not just saying that as someone who's an internet person, right? Because obviously I get my fair share of stuff. I'm always online and basically constantly online, learning all kinds of new things. You know, with the good news comes the bad. It's just sometimes you have to reset your algorithm. Here's what I did, okay? Don't know if it'll work for you, but it's worth a shot. What I looked up was good news. Literally just go on the search bar and type in good news or positive news, anything like that, right? You don't have to watch some sort of like, oh, it'll get better type guru and stuff like that. Which by the way, it itself is basically a form of doom posting as well. It's already with the idea that it's like, oh, today is terrible, but tomorrow will be better. You know, stuff like that. That shit doesn't work. All it tells me is today was terrible. I live in the now. I don't live tomorrow. I won't be there until I get there, you know what I mean? But anyway, shifting focus on your algorithm is going to do that, where you're going to have to snap out of it. And whatever you do, this is something that I learned. Don't let this become a rabbit hole into something else. If you're in doom scrolling mode, chances are when you look up positive news or anything like that, you're going to get some sort of weird sigma alpha male grind, you know, like fuckboy post, you know, buy my course to learn to be a better whatever. Don't buy any course. It's all bullshit. Everything's free online. And don't follow these gurus. Their money isn't selling you a false idea on how to be like them. Guess how they made their money? By selling nothing. By selling random rabbit holes or courses that make no sense or courses that do make sense but are actually common knowledge and are free somewhere else. And then guess what? At that point, it doesn't even matter that you didn't make the money because guess what? You just paid some asshole to tell you something you could have Googled for free. So don't do that, okay? Don't let one bad thing lead to another. They do, you know, misery welcomes company. That's the problem. So what you got to do is focus on things that you actually like doing, right? And I really do emphasize this on a lot for a lot of people, right? Because I know it's addictive to go on your phone and see all this negative shit, but dude, you really gotta snap out of it, okay? What's funny is if it sounds like I'm talking to someone directly, I might be, okay? I might be. Myself, because I've had some fucked up news come up on my For You page over and over again, and I just see this dark imagery and, well, what is it? You know? It's algorithm-based videos tailored to get you to react. There's an unnerving amount of people that decide to doom scroll. And yes, it is bad for your mental health, okay? There's a number of studies done that just confirm it, okay? You know what? Let's look into some. Because we rely on credible sources here, you know, here's the thing too, right? I'm guilty of this. I don't credit sources enough, okay? I'll mention them every now and then, but I feel like I need to go a cut above. You know what I mean? Like, I need to go on people that are not only credible, but people that everyone knows, oh yeah, they know what they're talking about, okay? So how about we get this from the mouth of Harvard, okay? This is from health.harvard.edu. Doom scrolling dangers. Constantly consuming distressing news can take a toll on your health. Learn how to safeguard your well-being. This was posted in 2024, by the way, okay? Thank you, Maureen Salomon, executive editor at Harvard Women's Health Watch. Thank you. Appreciate that. I do recommend you guys watch the entire article, by the way. It is very, very in-depth, and I will actually link it in the description. I do feel like that's good, right? You need these sources. You need to read up on... You know what? What the fuck am I saying? I'll just link them, okay? I'll read a little bit of it here. In the wake of the pandemic, doomscrolling's mental health effects have been examined more extensively. An April 2023 research review published in Applied Research in Quality of Life analyzed three separate studies involving a total of about 1,200 adults, suggesting doomscrolling is linked to worse mental well-being and life satisfaction. You have no idea how many takes that took. Another part of the article here says, with the media's propensity to blast mostly bad news, as in the saying goes, if it bleeds, it leads, we're not getting any messages about hope. It's all negativity, says Dr. Richard Mollica, a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. The article then goes on to explain how to cut back on this stuff. However, for the sake of you actually reading the article, I won't read it. You guys need to go in the comments, not the comments, you guys need to go in the description, click the article, and please read it, okay? I'm serious. It's better for you to read it. So if you have a list of it, you guys can, like, you know, screenshot it or maybe just take notes. I recommend taking notes. It's always good to have notes. Or, you know, just, like, physical notes, too. Like, I'm talking, like, actual sticky notes. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like sticky notes for me work a lot better than notes on my phone. I set a reminder on my phone, and I would still look at it, like, 3 or 4 hours later. Like, it would still be some time before I look at it. Although I will read one little tidbit here on how to, you know, avoid it, which I actually quite like. It's very simple and very straight to the point. Focus on community news. Local headlines tend to be less doom and gloom and more uplifting. And I quote, stick to the environment you live in, Dr. Mollica says. The rest of the article will be linked in the description and I just read it, please. I feel like, despite the fact that it's, hang on, how long ago was this? A year ago now, it's still very relevant. More now than ever, I would say. I feel like more people nowadays are doom scrolling, and it's not stopping. Look, I'm gonna tell you right now, me trying to focus away from doom scrolling, it seems to be pulling me back. Surprisingly, shockingly, not by the algorithm, but by other people. It does get to a point where doom scrolling affects the way you speak to other people. I have noticed it, okay? I'm saying this as someone... The whole reason for this podcast episode isn't just me formally doom scrolling, okay? I think you guys have noticed, you know, in past episodes, maybe one or two of them, I've sounded a bit more somber. Yeah, okay. But, shocking... If you hear clicks my fingers. Shockingly, the reality is, when someone doom scrolls enough, it spills out into their everyday life. It spills out into how they speak to people. There are some people that for whatever reason just can't focus on anything other than constant negativity. And of course, it circles back. You know, it feeds on itself. I say this as someone not unfamiliar with doom scrolling, but I guess I've just never seen it in another person. You know, you ever see yourself in the mirror after like a terrible binge? You know, you've been doom scrolling for so long, you look in the mirror, you just think, what am I doing? You know? If you do, count your blessings, because there are some people that can't do that. You know, they can't see the obvious problem, the error of their ways, where it's like, hey, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. That's a problem. That's a huge problem. Another huge issue that I have, right, is you never see it in somebody else. You never see someone and just know that they're a doom scrolling person. I have had I've had my first encounter with someone who I can only assume is the most hardcore doom poster. you know, doom scroller. You know, someone who's not chronically online, but someone who definitely has, you know, had their fair share of scrolling sessions. That's all I could put it. And it really caught me off guard how they interact with the world, how they see the world, how they react to things. Everything is just negative. But I don't know how to put it into words. It's something that really shifted my perspective personally. Something that I saw and I thought, okay, something is up here and I don't know how to put it into words. There's something that fundamentally shifts about a person to the point where their norm is not the norm, you know? Like their norm is, it's something dark. I don't know. But it's rare. I've been around, you know, I've been around the internet. I've been around a lot of places. There are people online, obviously, who doom scroll quite a bit. But it's rare to see them in person, you know, outside of their echo chamber, outside of everything that they believe in. And I don't know, it just catches you off guard to see it. And I have a feeling, right, that this is going to become the norm. This is going to become something that we're going to see a lot more often. I guess there are some people that have had other encounters with people, right? Like maybe you talk to someone in the office and they're, you know, Mr. Happy or whatever, you know, like that's me being ironic. You know, you talk to someone and you're just like, hey, how you doing? And they just go, who cares? The sun's going to explode. You know, I guess what we call a doom scroller now is what we used to call a nihilist. But nihilism still has more meaning than whatever this doom scrolling stuff is, you know? It's an unhealthy thing to do, okay? I'm just going to say it right now. Just, I'm obviously, you know, I read the article, but that's one in a million, honestly. I just decided I'm going to go with the most prestigious universities, studies that I know people will listen to because they have, you know, accredited sources. But even the smaller guys, you know, even people doing their own research, you know, they've noticed it. It's not a hard thing to see, right? Hell, I've seen it in some family members. And they get better over time, you know? All you have to do, like, if someone is doom scrolling and you're worried about their mental health, you have to approach it gently. You know, you have to, it's not like they're drowning, you got to pull them out of the water quickly. No. This is more like they're in quicksand. You can't just yank them out. They're not going to come out. If you ever try to pull someone out of quicksand, they're not coming out. You're going in there with them. You have to be careful how you approach somebody who constantly doom scrolls, because it's important to know that they're in a certain mental state right now where they're on high defense. They're on very high defense, but at the same time, they're very alert. So they're quick with responses, sure. But keep in mind, they're coming from a spot where they're in a pretty low area, you know? There's nothing positive coming out there, right? This is like SpongeBob versus Patrick, and to put it in a very light sense. I'm trying to think of a scenario right now where you would do that, you know? Where perhaps you would have somebody who's been doom scrolling too long. Maybe they're like unkept, or they're just, you know, their demeanor has changed, you know? Their demeanor has changed, and you have to tell them little by little. It's like, hey, everything okay? You know, like stuff like that. Little by little, pull them out of that dark pit that they're in, right? And some people, I love this, right? Some people are very open about it. Some people will just straight up go, I've been doom scrolling way too long. And that's beautiful, right? Hell, I saw people like, what's his name? Ordinary Things, a YouTuber, who not too long ago was saying, I've been doom scrolling way too long. And the funny part is he came clean with it, right? But at the same time, he was doing a whole video on it. So different there. Slightly different ballpark. We're talking about if you're interacting with somebody and they're, you know, like a close friend or relative or anything like that, right? If you're lucky, they'll know. They'll know. They'll be like, okay, yeah, I've been doom scrolling way too long. I got to get out of this rut. But if you're not, the problem is you're going to hear, I'm speaking from experience. You're going to hear somebody say some fucked up shit, right? Like, you know, like, oh, didn't you hear about these horrible things that are happening over here? Horrible stuff over there. Oh my God, our future's in danger, this and that. Dude, what's happening now? You know, like, I feel like doom scrolling triggers an anxiety. And I know this because I used to have anxiety, and I tell you right now, it fucking sucks. Okay, because there's nothing you could tell someone that'll convince them to get out of it. However, there are some exercises you can have them do, right? Where if they're having this essential shutdown, really, this mental shutdown, you could tell them, okay, Look around you. Look around you, okay? Five things you can see. And realize that, you know, like, you're basically grounding them. They're in this mental state where they're really lost in their mind. Okay, so you got to get them back to earth, basically. It's like saying, hey, whatever's going on in your head, get the fuck out of there, right? You're a prisoner of your own brain, and it's not easy to get out of. But there's tricks to it. So again, five things to see. What was the trick again? Let me look it up. Hang on, I don't want to get it wrong. Here it is. I had it. I forgot the wording. It's the 5-4-3-2-1. Okay. The 5-4-3-2-1 method works. And engages multiple senses, requiring you to concentrate in the present environment rather than dwell on anxiety-inducing thoughts. This interrupts the fight-or-flight response, calming the nervous system and reducing symptoms of anxiety or stress almost immediately. It could serve as the first step towards long-term coping strategies for mental wellness. I had this one mixed with another rule, right? It's the 3-3-3 rule. I had 5-4-3-2-1. That's a different one. It's the 3-3-3 rule, okay? It's very simple. You identify three things you can see, three things you can touch, and then you take three deep breaths. It serves a similar purpose to the 5-4-3-2-1 method, but it's much quicker. Okay, this is the difference here. 3-3-3 is three things you could see, three things you can touch, and three deep breaths. Now, that's basically getting them out of their mental, like, fog at that point. By the way, if you have mental fog when you've been doom scrolling, it is terrifying. Let me tell you right now, if you've been doom scrolling to the point where you quite literally can't remember the last hour of your life, it's basically the same as if you've been driving for hours to the point where you have brain fog and, you know, like your life is just flashed to that moment, right? It's like the rest of the, or like the rest of the day didn't exist. The moment you're currently in, bam, you just appeared into it, right? And it feels weird. If you ever had those moments, you haven't rested enough or something's really stressing you out. And I'm talking like heart palpitations, you know, your eyes are blood red. You've been scrolling so much. It's like, oh my God, what happens next? You know, I actually remember vividly my first doom scroll. And this was years ago, right? Before it was even a term. It was actually, I'm embarrassed to admit it now, but this was in the heyday, like YouTube conspiracy theories, like for some reason they were super popular back then, you know, the whole New World Order, 666, Illuminati, whatever, all that shit. I remember it fucking me up. Not only did it fuck me up mentally, right, it messed me up to the point where I no longer thought of the future as an option. I genuinely thought I was gonna die by 17 or something. But no, it's just that bad. This is the level that doom scrolling can fuck you up. Like, it will change your life if you let it, okay? Like, your brain is easy to toy with. It's easy to tinker with, right? Do yourself a favor. Since it's easy to tinker with, do the right things, okay? Okay, this time we're going to the urmc.rochester.edu. It's going to be another article that I will link in the description. The 5-4-3-2-1 coping technique for anxiety. We're going to get straight to it, okay? And feel free to use this as a guide. I'm going to be as calm and direct as possible, okay? Just in case someone might want to hear this. Maybe you think you've been doom scrolling too long. This is time to snap yourself out of it, okay? 5. Acknowledge 5 things you see around you. It could be a pen, a spot on the ceiling, anything in your surroundings. It could be your fingers, anything. 4. Acknowledge 4 things you can touch around you. It could be your hair, a pillow, the ground, a chair you're sitting on, anything. 3. Acknowledge 3 things you can hear. This could be an external sound, any. If you can hear your belly rumbling, if you can hear a TV on, if you can hear a car outside, that works. 2. Acknowledge 2 things you can smell. Maybe you're in an office and you smell a pencil. Maybe you're in your house and you smell coffee. Maybe you're in your bedroom and you smell a pillow. If you need to take a brief walk to find a scent, you could smell soap in your bathroom or nature outside. And 1, acknowledge 1 thing you can taste. What's the inside of your mouth taste like? Gum, coffee, the sandwich from lunch? And that's the 5-4-3-2-1 method. You could save this, make it a quick guide. It's okay. If you're listening to the podcast, I will leave a link in the description to the University of Rochester Medical Center's article about it. and they have a little more in-depth about it. This was written in 2018, and it still works. Honestly, it's a technique that I've used myself. So you know what? Give it a shot. Why not? It does help for anxiety, but what you got to understand is doom scrolling can trigger anxiety. That's exactly what it is. You're scared of the future. You're scared of the present. You're scared of something, right? Anxiety is a fear. So, you know, a fear of something that's yet to happen. It may never happen. Most likely it never will. But you know what? You got to be there to see it, right? Normally the fear of something happening is worse than the thing happening. It surprises people to hear that, but then, I don't know, it's like, best example I can think of is when you're a kid, and you're gonna get a shot at a doctor, and you're just really fucking terrified, it's gonna hurt, it's gonna be bad, and then you get it done, and it's like, oh, it wasn't so bad, and then you get a lollipop afterwards, and this and that, you know, stuff like that, or maybe you're scared to go to the doctor as an adult, you know, you're scared of what he's gonna say, and like, oh my god, maybe some unknown medical issue I'm gonna have, maybe I have fucking super high cholesterol, I'm gonna be on meds the rest of my life. You go in with a clean bill of health and you come out, hey, maybe you're just a little chubby, that's it. You know? Nothing too bad. But the thing is, the fear is often what gets you, you know? The fear of something that hasn't happened yet. You're fearing a possibility, and that's what anxiety is. So, when I say doom scrolling is linked to anxiety, I mean they're one-to-one, you know? Because doom scrolling really is just, this happened somewhere, it might happen to you. This happened somewhere. It might affect you in this way. Might, maybe, could, possible, perhaps. None of these are, it has happened to you. No, it's maybe, okay? It might never happen. But news articles that say that aren't going to, you know, they're not going to tell you, oh, this might never happen to you, or this might not be a fear that you need to worry about. No, no, no. What gets people is articles that say this is going to fucking kill you and it's going to hurt the entire way. Because that's what gets clicks. And the worst part is, it seems like it's begun again. Like I mentioned before, negativity feeds on itself. So we get more and more news articles that have this horrifying implication. And then years pass and nothing happens. You know? This shit's been going on for years, right? People thought that Obama was the Antichrist. There were genuinely terrified videos of people crying and screaming, saying the Antichrist is going to come after him because Obama was a president. Like, dude, it's just like I mentioned one of the rules is never to get into politics, but this is just an example, okay? Vote for who you want. This has always been a thing, right? There's always been some sort of anxiety, there's always been doom scrolling. It's just always been in different ways, right? Even before, I feel like newspapers had headlines that sensationalized things that possibly happened, you know? I mean, fuck. I mean, that's just what gets clicks. That's what gets people to watch it. And the moment you realize, hey, every single news article that I've been reading is super bad for my mental health, then we realize, okay, yeah, you know, take a moment, put the phone down, go outside. I know it's a meme, I get it, but touch grass. Seriously, let the sun on your shoulders, just breathe in. It's probably the best feeling in the world when you break away from the doom scroll. Like, there's a moment where you're doom scrolling, and I've been through this before, okay? I'm telling you guys right now. If you guys have been through it, I have too. There's a moment where you're doom scrolling where it all just snaps, and you're just like, I need to go outside. And then you go outside, and it's like, still here. Nothing's wrong with me. I'm just chill. And it's a fucking great feeling. You know, where it's like, wow, I was in a stupor, you know, that's what some people will call it. You know, they'll be like, yeah, I was in a rut. It wasn't doing too good, but I'm okay now. And that's the best feeling in the world where you're just, you know, you broke free. Some people don't. Some people don't get that. Some people, it might take years. Some people, unfortunately, this is the sad truth, it might consume their life. There have been people that because they nonstop doom scroll, they end up just locked in their rooms. I've seen it. It's basically, there's a term for it. It's really dark when you get into it. It's like nesting, where basically you're quite literally turning your house. You're basically locking everybody out, and you're just like reverting back to animal instincts. In the most literal sense of the term, like you're building a nest where you obviously feel safe. And that's not healthy, you know? That's another level of doom scrolling. At that point, that's just genuine, like, fear. That's paranoia at that point. You have gotten to a point where, unfortunately, it's just more common to see. I feel like mainly because we're online more, we'll see it in other people. There's a lot more people that are just comfortable never going outside, just locking themselves in a room. That isolation is not good for you. You got to go outside. You got to socialize. You got to breathe in. You got to let the sun hit your skin. You know, you got to do all these things, okay? Air gets stale when you've been sitting in the room for too long. But so do you. That's not me exaggerating either. You genuinely do need to go outside. There's a lot of benefits to it. Just being outside for a minute, you know? I forget how long it was. There was another study that I'm thinking of, too. Often when you hear me saying these things, it's either I've been through it myself or I read a news article about it, but it's something from an accredited source. You know, you got to make sure that wherever you get your news from, it's unbiased and there's no agenda behind it, you know? Seriously, that's so hard to do nowadays. Seriously, dude, fuck. You know, two articles are linked. Two articles. And that's because there are so many others that have other stuff on them where it's like, hey, buy this thing, buy this supplement, you'll feel better after this. There is no magic pill. There might be if you have bad enough anxiety, you know, you might be on antidepressants, you might be on escitalopram, Lexapro, you might be on Xanax, you know, alprazolam. I'm saying all the generic and brand names. Ooh, former pharmacy tech. Yeah, I got it. But, you know, these things happen. So, from someone who's seen it, I don't know, it's weird seeing it outside of yourself, because like I remember doom scrolling in the past and, you know, breaking out of it, but now actually seeing the doom scroller manifest, it's just strange to me. You know, it's like a really big mirror, and I don't like what I see. I don't like it. I gotta work on myself too, you know, drink more water. That's why my mouth is doing this, okay? Randomly throughout the podcast, I don't know if you noticed, there have been some, like, letters I just straight up forgot to pronounce. And I think, yeah, your boy needs some water. I need to hydrate. It's summer. I don't know why the hell I don't drink water. I really don't. Oh, I've been doing a lot better with no energy drinks. Definitely still drinking caffeine, don't get me wrong. I just had a coffee while recording. Not even that long ago. Also, my nail, the one that came out in the video, is no longer there. So whenever I record with this finger, I am going to cover it up. It looks disgusting. But thankfully, no infection, no bleeding. Just gotta wait for it to grow back. We're doing good. We're doing great. New YouTube video coming out soon, actually, because I already have the props for it. Thankfully, it's a very easy one. We're gonna paint together again. Last time we painted, it was gonna be... What was it? Some weird concrete obelisk that I painted. It wasn't even that good either. I remember the painting just being mid. I still have it. I just don't know what to do with it. This one, on the other hand, is going to be a circle thing. I cannot fucking think of how to explain it. But when it's out, it's out. You'll be happy to know that the paints are here and I have an idea for it. A few ideas, actually. But... you just gotta be there to watch it when it happens. By the way, for those who missed it, happy 4th of July. It was in the video that I uploaded. That came out on July 5th, but it came out, right? Hell yeah. we have the microscope back, so I'm very happy about that. We have a lot of props that we're going to use, and I'm saying this as someone who has too many props. Dude, what the hell? Like... I just realized how many paintings I have around me. You know what? I don't know where to sell them. I was going to do Etsy, but I need a P.O. box for that. I've sold 3 paintings, I believe. Let me check the ledger here. I have a ledger of all the paintings that I've sold. It's not a lot, but it's something. Okay. There have been... I have really good handwriting here. Oh, it's Angelica's handwriting. Okay. Wow, it's been a year since I sold 2 paintings. Unnamed painting, 8x10, $25. Someone at St. Louis. Let's see, unnamed bonsai tree painting. $25. Wow, $50 in paintings. So yeah, Two of them have been sold. Whenever you buy one of my paintings, by the way, your name goes in a ledger along with how much the painting was worth and what date that I sold it. I'm just happy when people buy any of them, actually. Really excited about that. I do not do NFTs. Please don't ask me that. I've had too many people approach me with that. It's like, oh, are you going to do an NFT of your paintings? No, I'm not there yet. And even when I do get there, I don't think I want to. Way too many scams involving NFTs. Way too many. I have an idea for a video, and it just occurred to me because I turned to my right. I have a... what the hell is it called? There's a word for it. I can't think. It's a palette. I have a palette, and it's covered in paint, really old paint. I think of those old videos where someone like peels it off, and I want to do a video like that. You know what? Maybe I will. I don't know. Question. Why did I compare doom scrolling to cigarettes? One, I've done both. Two, they're bad for you. Three, they're addictive. Four, very powerful people want you to be addicted to them. Five, there is no fifth. I don't know, man. I feel like it was a good analogy, though, right? Like, for the most part, they're both bad for you. You know, you get it, right? It's addictive, it's bad for you. That's really it, if I'm being honest. You could add more meaning to it, but I feel like it's a good eye-catcher. Having said that, seriously, we need to quit doom scrolling. Like, I'm being sincere now, okay? All jokes aside. I mean, I was being sincere earlier, but now I'm telling you right now directly, instead of me just saying it in like context, I'm going to tell you fucking directly, stop doom scrolling, okay? You can learn about news without it being the end of the world every time, okay? It's just, things suck, but they always kind of have, you know? Like, I'm not going to say that, you know, like, it ain't all peaches and cream, little fella, you know? Shit happens. But it's always happening, right? I mean, you don't shit once a year, you shit every day. Shit happens every day. And good things happen every day, okay? Look, things happen. People just tend to focus on where their mental state is, you know? If you're in a bad mental state, you focus on negative things. If you're in a good mental state, you focus on the positive. It is very easy to sway one way or the other. But try to keep it in one direction, you know what I mean? Yeah, there's good days. Yeah, there's bad days. But there's still both. Doom scrolling aside, have you ever done the opposite? There's a meme that I actually like. It's exactly the opposite of doom scrolling. Essentially, what you do is, with doom scrolling, it's all doom and gloom. It's all bad news. It's all sadness. The world's going to end or whatever. Now, the opposite that I know is hopecore. And it's, interestingly enough, the quick solution to doom scrolling. Because it's basically just, the human spirit can't be conquered, you know? Like, if you want to do something, you can fucking do it, no matter what's going on in the world, you know? If there's a way to do it, you can do it. Or if there's a way to do it, you'll find it. If you want it, it's yours, you know? Stuff like that. And, like, I don't know. It's just, they seem to be working for me. You know what I mean? Like, in my years growing up, I realized that I've been cynical. I've been a person that judges a lot. And yet, I haven't done much myself. You know, I could sit here and judge and critique all day, but realistically, what the hell does that do? You know, what does that accomplish? Nothing. Nothing really. You need to work on yourself. It's easy to judge others because it's just something that takes no effort. You know, like if somebody's like posting hopecore, obviously I see every now and then someone will just post random shit in the comments like, oh, this is stupid, this is cringe or whatever. But at the end of the day, they're trying to cheer themselves up or try to cheer other people up. And you know what? Good for them. On the other hand, there are people that'll do the opposite. Well, they'll make edits that are sad or whatnot. And it's so pointless as well. That's also cringe, but no one judges them for it. It's kind of hard to judge people when they're already down. It's kind of like kicking a dog while it's down, you know? You don't do that. But at the same time, it's like, if you're going to sit here and ridicule others, then, you know, you go and stew in your own sadness, you know? I need a phrase for that. That one didn't hit quite as hard. There's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of like good words to put together that'll describe a person like that. Really shun them, really put them down. Something that, like, if somebody commented it, it's like, ow, that hurt on a spiritual level. I've seen it before, just not coming to mind. As soon as it does, it's gonna snap, like, I'm gonna snap my fingers and it's just gonna, hey, that helped. I may be cringe, but I am free. I don't know, I like that. I've always liked that quote. Maybe because I'm so damn cringe. Yes, I know. Anyway, I feel like the topic of doom scrolling is, I feel like I touched on it enough. 35 minutes is probably enough for that, okay? Let's jump to another topic, because I feel like doom scrolling in its own, just talking about it, just kind of like, I don't know. You start thinking about it, and then it's just like, I feel like I just started doing it, you know? Just so I had more references, and then I realized I'm just going down a rabbit hole again. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm guilty of another thing as well, aside from doom scrolling, which is not as bad for you, but it can be. It really depends. Many people would argue that nostalgia is also just as bad. I feel kind of bad. Whew. Because I fall for this regularly. Doom scrolling is one thing, but nostalgia is just... I mean, you live in the past, you miss the moments. You know, you miss the now. But sometimes I do go back, right? I have this playlist that I've started on YouTube. Thankfully, YouTube's been around, you know, undisturbed for a long time. And beautifully enough, I now have about, let me do the math in my head, about 12 years of my life on connected to this Watch Later playlist, right? On YouTube. Me and my girlfriend were going through it the other day. And one thing crossed my mind that was really shocking to see. It's been 9 years since I grew an interest in throwing paint or, you know, liquid pouring, acrylic stuff like that. Weird acrylic paints that I don't use a brush for, you know, that you just make weird colorful swirls. And it occurs to me that the person doing it wasn't even a famous artist. You know, it was just some guy doing it in his garage that he had tricked out. And it was really nice. And primarily, he did start with a canvas that he painted by hand. And then he started throwing stuff on it. And he was selling pieces. That's the beauty of, you know, sometimes looking back that, you know, it all clicks. Like, for me, it clicked yesterday that I've had an obsession with just weird, colorful swirls for a long time. Whether or not they sell, doesn't matter. I do it because I like it. I do it because I enjoy it. You know, it's therapeutic almost. Just mixing stuff around, playing music in the background, being locked the fuck in while doing it. And I don't know, it hits different watching all the colors come together at the end. Period. That's it, really. I like it. I like it a lot. But I didn't realize how old this obsession was. This was before I went to college. This was before I went to do anything, really. And yet, it has still been around. I realized one thing, too. I haven't been applying myself as much as I used to. As in, I haven't been, like, posting my art anywhere else. I hate to say it. I really hate to say this. But maybe it's time to make a Facebook. I don't want to, okay? I have an Instagram. I have a Twitter. I have a Blue Sky, which, by the way, I hate to say this if you're on there, but Blue Sky is boring. Blue Sky is nothing. There's nothing there. There's just random political discussions, people sharing art. There's nothing else. That's it. It's just, it's like an office space, you know? It's like, I mean, LinkedIn has more characteristics. It's just not fun, you know? Blue Sky is boring. No one on Blue Sky is a fun person. And there are corners of Blue Sky that I've noticed looking through it, that I realized that they just want to be upset, and it's fucking annoying. You know, it causes what I like to call fatigue. You know, like, you care too much for something and you eventually just get tired. And that's what I notice about, I don't know, I feel like it's a precursor to doom scrolling, where it's like, you used to care so much, now you just don't care at all, you know? Jesus, it all comes back to it, doesn't it? I feel like we all just doom scroll at the end of the day, or just keep scrolling and scrolling until nothing's left. You know, nothing is like, you know, there's no bottom of the well, you know? Maybe the next video will be better than the previous. Maybe the next video will be better than previous, you know? I feel like TikTok definitely kickstarted that popularity thing. You know, it made the videos popular, where it's like, okay, there's a small video, scroll up, there's a small video, scroll up, there's a small video, scroll up, there's a slightly bigger video, scroll up. And the more you scroll, the more the algorithm learns about you, and then it just kind of snowballs, really. This is why I feel like... Damn it, we're going back to it. This is why I feel like doom scrolling has become so difficult to escape. It's just because these algorithms are very smart, okay? Whatever you feed it, it's gonna regurgitate. So you're gonna have to force yourself out of whatever rut you're in. Holy shit, we're back again. I feel like we just talked about this. Okay, but how about we talk about the algorithm itself, right? First off, everyone thinks they know exactly what's going on with Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, you know, those algorithms. I'm not going to mention Blue Sky. Fuck Blue Sky. People think they know the algorithm quite well. They kind of do, okay? It's not down to a science, but at the same time, there are some things that are, you know, like, they've been tested and they came out, you know, with results. Twitter seems to thrive on negativity. Specifically, the blue check marks. A lot of people that pay for, you know, the, I think, $8 a month, Twitter Blue, whatever it's called, and they get a check mark. And because of that, they have a financial incentive. And the one thing that gets a lot of people clicking on Twitter is being as negative as possible, responding to everyone as possible, like as fast as possible. Literally, it doesn't matter what you're commenting. It has to be just be a response. If it's a negative one, most likely it'll be something that, you know, people will get riled up by. So that's why Twitter seems to have this famous, you have to be toxic on this website kind of mentality. And the same goes for Instagram, it seems, where there you just do it for the love of the game, right? You upload you go on the Instagram Reels app or Instagram, and then you go on Reels and you start scrolling, same as TikTok. Only problem is Instagram Reels are a lawless wasteland. My God, I've seen it before. There was this thing that happened, I think June 17th. I don't remember exactly, but I think there was a date where Instagram Reels fucked up. And it was just showing the worst, worst things you could possibly see on the internet. Uncensored, unprovoked. And for whatever reason, the algorithm glitched so badly that it was showing gore videos, shit videos, scat videos, things that you would normally censor be taken down. Instead of taking them down, it would amplify them. It would actually make them far more popular. It lasted hours before it was taken down. But no one forgot, nobody forgot the absolute onslaught of horrifying videos that they were able to see before Instagram decided to step in and go, hey, something's fucking wrong here. What the hell's going on? So it was bad. How bad? To this day, it's mentioned. And if I remember correctly, memory serves me correct, it's been more than a year. And normally when something gets famous on the internet, it doesn't get famous for long, right? And it's not every day that people mention it, but I see every now and then people will say, like, what's the worst thing you've seen on Instagram? People will mention the date. That's kind of where I see it, and that's when I looked it up. Thankfully, I wasn't affected by it. I remember the date because people were saying, what the fuck's wrong with Instagram Reels now? And I started scrolling, and mine was fine, but I guess, you know, mine's different than other people's. Other people's algorithms just, you know, fucking them up real badly, apparently. Which I find kind of funny because all of my Instagram Reels are just funny videos. Occasionally an informative one. And for some reason, again, the algorithm will only regurgitate what you feed it. I was really into like I was trying to get into math. You know, the number thing. I don't use it for work. I don't study. You know, I'm not in university. I just started learning numbers, you know, like I can't even think of anything right now because it's like, why did I learn it? I've just been shit at math my entire life, and I wanted to change that, and it didn't go anywhere, really. I studied it for, like, I don't know, 3 months? I was doing these courses on Brilliant. By the way, I feel sad saying this because I'm a big fan of... Wow, what the hell's his name again? YouTuber Joe Scott. I'm a big fan of him, and every single one of his ads seems to be Brilliant.com, Brilliant.org, whatever, right? It's always Brilliant in some way, shape, or form. But Brilliant is like Duolingo in that it's very short and you barely learn anything, right? I did learn coding a bit on it, but it just, I don't recommend it. You know what? Let's talk about that. There's a lot of people that have been getting ads from YouTubers. Let me tell you right now, a lot of them are not that good. Okay? Brilliant, I tried it myself. I paid the yearly subscription. No joke. I paid the full $120-something. It was not worth it at all. At all. Duolingo itself is also being finally ousted by people that actually teach other languages. Like, you could learn a language on Duolingo for months and not even be able to speak a sentence. for whatever reason, it's just so common to use these short apps. But the truth is, if you really want to apply yourself to something, it can't just be a 5-minute thing every day. You know, it has to be at least 20, 30 minutes, right? Growing up, that's kind of what I learned, where people would say stuff like, okay, I have a very specific scenario and I'm thinking, I don't know if it applies to everything. You know, it definitely applies to a specific thing, which is learning an instrument. They would say something like, oh, don't practice for 5 minutes a day, practice for 30 minutes a day. Minimum. It's a minimum of 30 minutes a day. You know, just hit a few chords and you're good. The funny thing is, it fucking worked. Like really crazy. It worked really well. And yet, if you tried the 5-minute thing every day, it just wouldn't work. It's too short. It's not enough time to do anything or apply yourself. At some point, you get into a flow state when it's been 30 minutes, right? Maybe the first 5 minutes, they feel like forever. And then once they're gone, it's like, okay, another 5 minutes. And just keep doing that until you hit 30. This applies to anything, by the way. If you paint, do that. If you read, do that. If you play any instrument at all, do that. If you exercise, do that. You know, you get it. Start timing yourself in 5-minute increments. Seems to work for me. Kind of. Look, do as I say, not as I do, because I fucking suck. I'm not going to sit here and say I have it all figured out. I do fucking not, okay? I absolutely do not. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I'm doing it. You know, that's a good way to put it, right? Anyway, I mentioned earlier nostalgia, right? The reason I mention it is because I keep getting these nostalgia videos because the algorithm, again, you know, whatever you're feeding it, it's going to regurgitate. And I get these videos and I feel bad because a lot of the stuff that I grew up with, I loved like certain things and they're gone now. One of them being fucking Yogos. If you don't know what that is, it's basically a yogurt based candy. It was a little sphere with a little gummy center, and they were so fucking good, dude. They were so fucking good. I bought something on Amazon the other day that was basically a duplicate of it, but it was not nearly as good. Not even close. Not even remotely close at all. There's also this Sobe strawberry milk. Strawberry something. Some sort of strawberry water milk. I don't know what it's called, basically. The Sobe bottle with the little lizard on it. When I was growing up, I had access to a vending machine that would dispense those drinks, and I loved them, right? But again, all of these things are gone. They no longer exist. There's no duplicate of it. And what shocked me is the algorithm decided, hey, how about we throw them a bone for once? And I got recipes to make it at home. All I'm saying is, if other people are feeling nostalgic as well, I might make these. Because one of them in particular caught my eye. And yet, like the person in the video said, I remember having them growing up. This isn't an exact one-to-one recipe, but it's very close, you know, and he gave it like a 9 out of 10. And I might as well save these videos because I hear TikTok's going to finally be removed from the United States. Which fucking blows. Great. Unless this is another... Fuck me too. Oh, unless this is another fake out. Did you hear how hard I struggled just now, dude? God damn. Dude, you cannot fathom how fucking... Like, oh my God. Wow, I'm really yelling into the mic. Sorry. I did not expect the microphone to react that way. I physically grabbed it. Like, and I put like my mouth as close to it as I possibly could before my lips started smacking around it. My bad. I didn't think it peak like that. That's gotta hurt. I'm so sorry. Sorry, headphone users. I've been really fucking picking at your brain all day. I remember last 3 episodes, I was talking about how this microphone cozy thing that I have that covers the microphone. I remember telling anyone listening that this thing was basically giving me an allergic reaction, right? So I took it off. I'm holding it right now. I took it off, and now the other one that was underneath it, or the other one that was before it, I decided to put it on, and it is much closer to the actual, like, little nodule thing that would physically like respond to my voice. The fucking microphone. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word. Dude, I'm tired. I'm like actually really tired. Like I need a nap, chocolate milk, and 700 Red Bulls. By the way, it's been weeks since my last energy drink. coffee's gone up. That's it. More coffee than ever before. I kind of want some right now, but I feel like if I drink it right now, I won't go to bed soon. And that's important because I have a new schedule. I don't work nights no more. So it's weird. It's weird having that, you know, no longer nights. The sun is nice. Holy shit, I just saw a TikTok that blew my mind. And I hate to say it, but it's true for some parts of it. But other parts makes, I'll just read it. Hang on. Basically, it's Miss Mona watermelon emoji talking about, there's a joke that if you come from a migrant family, that they order their steaks well done. A lot of migrant families around here, I have seen it myself. However, Anthony Bourdain, she quotes that Anthony Bourdain basically insists that people, this goes back a while, like fucking years ago, where a chef will have like a low quality piece of meat and they'll say, hey chef, what do you want to do with this? Instead of throwing it out, they'll say, save it for well done. And then they would go off saying the chef that recommends saying save it for well done is because somebody who orders a steak well done doesn't know the difference between good food and false slop. I guess shit, basically garbage. So it's weird that getting a medium rare steak is classist, interestingly enough. I'd never thought that. It's kind of sad how I can't even eat a piece of meat without some sort of fucking social commentary. Like, dude, I'm just hungry. I had to cut out the audio fucking spiking right now because I put the microphone on my mouth wondering how it would feel like, and it feels like fiberglass on my lips. Ouch. Anyway, we're at the last 10 minutes of the podcast, so I want to thank people who have been subscribing to the YouTube channel, and I have a request for you guys listening. Go on Spotify and give it 5 stars because I haven't had a new review in a while. So I really would appreciate it if a bunch of people, you know, gave it a good review. Really anything. I do appreciate the people that do listen. I do notice that there's a lot of people that listen. I noticed it when I go to the algorithm. There's just so fucking much, dude. There's so many people that listen overseas, surprisingly. So yeah, this is life in the US. Hey, everyone. A lot of people from Europe, Australia, Japan. That's surprising. Where else? Hang on, let me pull up the algorithm. Not algorithm, the map. I have a map of people. It doesn't give me your exact location, okay? So you're safe for that. But it gives me pretty much just a home country. You know what I mean? And even then, hang on, I'm logging in right now. Sorry if I sound distracted. It gives me the home country, and I think up to like the state? Let me see. Come on now. Okay, there we go. In the last 2 weeks. Dude, who is off the coast of Halifax listening to me? It's kind of cool. Australia, big fan of Perth. Thank you all very much for listening out there. Perth is fucking awesome, I assume. Something's going on here. Audio videos. Okay, there we go. Yeah, I got a weird recommendation right now. I'm not doing YouTube videos with my podcast voice. It's just not good. The last episode was very popular in the United States. Let's see the most recent. Here we go. Holy shit. The UK, dude. London, Leeds, Manchester, Liverpool. And heavy around London. So I want to thank you guys for listening out there. Every single one of you, by the way. I really do appreciate how many people have been downloading the podcast episodes. And honestly, just, you know, seriously, it's been going, okay? We have the new system where it's every 2 weeks. And I'm going to be honest, I'd like this a lot more. I love it, you know? I love it, in fact. I will be honest, though. You guys have noticed it, too, okay? I know you've noticed it. I'm definitely focusing more on YouTube because YouTube just seems to be the place to be. It's coming back. Okay, that's why, okay? I'm excited and I'm optimistic about it because YouTube, unfortunately, some years back, made some poor decisions and it went down the shitter really quickly. People got paid a lot less. People started uploading AI bullshit, automated computer random bullshit that unfortunately got millions of views, started plaguing the algorithm, and it was ass. It was honestly fucking awful. But YouTube has recently rolled out some new ideas, and honestly, I'm all for it. You know, people who make AI exclusive videos, good, guess what? You're not getting paid. Good. Fuck, I was so sick of that shit. Seriously, genuinely. I get it. Go chase the bag, brother. You know, go pay and get paid, Gatorade, whatever the fuck. But it's just not good creatively, you know? And every single rule that I've seen YouTube starting to implement is entirely based on getting people back to uploading and recording themselves, you know? And that's exactly what I wanted. And I was waiting for that because YouTube was like that back in the day, you know, back before Susan Wojcicki, and, you know, like, there was a whole controversy behind her, but, you know, she's gone now. Let's, rest in peace. We respect the dead here in the podcast. We're not gonna, you know. There was a lot of stuff, right, that back then was changed, and it seems to be changing back. So perhaps a second wave is coming back on YouTube, and if so, I am not going to miss my opportunity to be a part of that wave, okay? I'm saying this right now in the podcast. I'm going to be on there, okay? Last time I saw, you know, your iDubbbz, your Max Mofo, your Filthy Frank, your PewDiePie, your Mr. Beast, your Marshall Dustuff, I believe. Marshall Dustuff was actually quite old. Jax Films, you know, people like that, right? And they started at the right time, and guess what? The algorithm picked them up. My numbers have been growing on YouTube, okay? I'm telling you right now, that's the whole reason I'm getting more and more into it. I'm putting more production value into stuff. And it's not from lack of better, like, it's not for me not trying. It's just I finally get the algorithm. And now that I do, I realize the whole time it was easy. It's just a few missteps along the way. Sure, don't get me wrong. But when I say I misstepped, I mean my last video, my first one, right? Me starting on YouTube was like 10 years ago. You honestly think that I started as a teenager? No, I started as a fucking 18-year-old. And like, now that I see the writing on the wall, I see the golden opportunity, YouTube might be making a comeback. If it does, thank God, because I'm actually, you know, getting my foot in the door early. So, you know, I'll find my niche. And it seems like I have been. I've been getting more comments. I've been getting more subscribers. I've been getting more people genuinely watching that aren't fucking bots. And I love that. I love that, okay? I was getting sick of the botting. I was getting sick of all of that stuff. It was making me, like, it was making me doom scroll, right? Because I was starting to get really into this theory, the dead internet theory. I believe I made an episode of the podcast about it. And it was unfortunately filled with anecdotal evidence of me and me just kind of accepting that, yeah, this is reality. But it wasn't, you know? I mean, maybe, I don't know. Maybe the internet is mostly dying. According to a video by Flesh Simulator, it might be true. I'm just saying, there seems to be a lot of Reddit accounts coming out of a single place. And that's disturbing. That's like 100,000 Reddit accounts per account or per person. I forget what it was. It was a huge number, right? Flesh Simulator, seriously, watch his channel. Take it with a grain of salt, though, because I will admit, it's my version of doom scrolling. That guy is, he invented a gun that blinds people. I mean, when I say I recommend him, I don't recommend every video. Look, he's a character. That's all I gotta say about him. Which, that reminds me, this is an open invitation. Flesh Simulator, if you ever want to be on the podcast, you're more than welcome to. We could set something up. I just don't know what the fuck we'd talk about, honestly. That's probably the best part about it. We could probably talk about YouTube, your rise to fame, your shadow banning on TikTok. All of that is interesting to me. I don't know what else to talk about. Maybe your music. I sound like a fucking fangirl right now, dude. I just did my research, that's all. But yeah, anyway, for those articles, I'm going to leave them linked in the description. Be sure to check out the YouTube video. The most two recent ones, they just crossed over 100 views. The YouTube Shorts, one of them reached 8,000 views and has been going up. So I do appreciate that. And I mentioned before, you're going to see more YouTube Shorts because the algorithm loves when you do that. You're feeding the beast at that point. And if I got to do that, I got to do that, okay? I'm sorry, but like I know some people don't like that. I've seen people unsub because of it. But I got to do it. And also, I think maybe I should upload more than once a month. I'll try to upload quicker, but if I can't, I can't, you know? That's going to do it for this episode of the Meatweed Podcast. Links in the description for everything. And I think I should stop posting my link tree and maybe update some art pieces. Like my YouTube banner, it has my old Twitter logo on there, and I don't have a Twitter anymore. I do have one, but it's for my art. All right, see you guys next week.